actually is Moodle, and I started out with explaining it, or taking it right out of Wikipedia, so hopefully you know about Wikipedia. It's an open source e-learning platform. That's how they're describing it. It has a very large user base, 7,954 registered sites in 146 countries with over 2 million users, in more than 189,000 courses as of December 16th. So it's a rather large open source e-learning platform, is Martin Duciamas. And there's an interview, a really nice interview by Tim Wilson, who's the technology integration specialist and a Moodle user at Hopkins School, that he talked to Martin for about a half an hour, and it's on one of his podcasts. So this is a link to his blog and Steve's interview, Tim Wilson's interview with Martin about how he started Moodle and how it's developed and the support. And what's nice about it, it's a very large community of people. So if you need help figuring out how to put your Moodle together, Moodle.org is where you can go, and there's many, many people there that will help you. When you sign up to be a site, you can register at Moodle.org, and there's a class there in Moodle.org, how to use Moodle, so they give you a little sandbox to play in, basically, and test the waters and see if it's for you. There's a great discussion board that you can subscribe to if you have questions. I'm not quite sure how to do it, and I know how to get in and out of it, and I can follow the web links, but I still don't know how it works on the other end of the SQL and the programming. I also would give credit to Tom Donovan, because when I wanted to get started, Tom knows a lot about that server stuff, and if any of you saw Tom Donovan's OS X presentation, he always knows about the cool and the neat stuff that you can do on computers. Tom helped me install it on my laptop. So if you have a computer, you can install it on your own computer and experiment. You don't have to have it on a server. And if you can't figure that out, there's Moodle users that will help you, say, make sure you put it in this directory and you name it such and this. And so Tom was my go-to person, and he actually helped me install it on my laptop, and so I was able to play a little bit beyond after I got back from your class. So I've been kind of experimenting around with it, and that's how I decided to get going with Moodle. I help teachers integrate technology and in a variety of ways. We have a training lab at Stevenson where teachers can come during their planning periods. They can come after school. They can come before school during their lunches, and they can learn. We have a topic every week, like word processing is next week, email was this week, and they can learn the base. We tried a variety of options. We have some workshops, and we'll do some release days and try to do some staff development days. But it's still, there was a piece missing. There were people who coached. They couldn't come after school. We had what we call our University of Stevenson classes, where they can pay for a class and get credit towards their lanes and steps and increase their salary and all that, but they still couldn't do that and coach and teach and all that other stuff. And I started a project last spring where I wanted to put some more tools into the hands of teachers. And with some of the way that the students are learning today, I wanted to increase the teacher's knowledge of some of the digital lifestyle, the digital tools. I wanted teachers to be familiar with iPods. I wanted them to be familiar with cameras and all of the digital things for the digital students that we have. And so I put together what I call my iPower team, and that they would have to commit to the staff development. Because I believe that if I gave them the tools but didn't back that up with how to use it, then they would just sit in drawers, or, you know, I wanted a little buyback from the teachers. So in order to be able to manage this, it was really hard getting them all together during the summer to give them the tools and give them some basic knowledge on the tools. But I said, for the next 2 years, we are going to do an online class. And so Moodle was my answer for that. So we've just finished our first semester class. I designed the class actually basically teaching the digital natives, and we started, I did 6 modules. Every 2 weeks I would give them a module, and in that module it would be an assignment, maybe a discussion piece, some learning, some things that I wanted them to learn, and one of the modules would have been on their digital camera. So, you know, there's an online thing, Atomic Learning, we're subscribers to. We also subscribe to the Apple Digital School, which has some nice tutorials, and I would say go to that site. Go through those 10 slides and take a concept and go and take a picture and then explain to me what that picture illustrates, that concept, and then upload your picture. So the teams went out and they, you know, went to that site and they learned how to do pictures from different perspective, and then that team uploaded their picture. So in 2 weeks, that was the task that they had to do. So I'm not asking for a whole lot of time, you know, on their part, but over time they should be spending like 8 hours online. That's what I kind of gauged it. And they could do it through the University of Stevenson. They could pay for credit, and it would put them on their lanes and salary steps. So there's all these incentives built into it. So that's where I developed Moodle and where I'm taking my Moodle class to. On this website, There is some links there. You can see using Moodle to learn Moodle. That's that moodle.org where you can go in and sign up and go through their courses. And then I'm going to show you our Stevenson Moodle site, and it's by no way as great as Ann's school and what they're doing. I also have access to what's called the ICTPD, which is the Information Communication Technologies Professional Development out of Australia. And I modeled a lot of what I'm doing from my experience in his Moodle class. And so you can go take a look at that. There are some free places that when you go to these people that are doing Moodling, they have guest access. So oftentimes if you're thinking about putting together a Moodle class, you learn by what other people are doing. And I've given you some links where you can go where there's guest access. And you can see there's a wonderful tutorial from Wesley Fryer in Texas Tech University on how to do podcasting. And he did it totally within a Moodle, and it's totally free. So if you want to learn how to do podcasting, you can go to Podcasting 101 and go on his Moodle site and figure out how to do podcasting. The ICTPD from Bryn Jones has a wonderful digital camera or digital photography Moodle that you can go in and learn how to do digital photography. Again, it's totally free because they've got a guest access. And once you're there, you can see how he's put that Moodle class together. So as you visit and you participate in what other people are doing, then you decide, well, I can do this. This is like nothing. Or I can use their ideas, or I can see their structure. And you can structure your own Moodle on that. I do have a link to District 214's Moodle site because they have a guest part that you can go into. Trinity International University, which Carl is from, I put a link out there because I just think it looks really nice to go out and see there. And I think you have some guest access courses in there as well. UIUC has a Moodle course where you can go on to the University of Illinois, and you've got some there. So just a few things. And just doing a web search, go out into Google and do Moodle classes, and you can come up with others that you can get into. So I've linked those, and I will add the one from the LTC on there as well. Let's see if I'll go to this one first. Now my network was a little bit slow in here, so we'll see if it hopefully will come up. Get that one loaded up ahead of time. Okay, this is the actual Moodle.org, and there's some community discussion out there in other languages in English if you just want to go to the demo courses. And this is from Martin Dujiamas. When you sign up, you get email from Martin, which is kind of nice. And this is a short course about the open source. It's the main purpose is a demonstration course showing off some of the Moodle features. And so you can go in and see what that looks like. What you'll see that all the Moodle pages have the same type of environment. They're basically blocks of code that latest news is a block, upcoming news is a block, you have this middle part that's a block, the people who's participating, what activities are out there, you can search, and you can choose where you want to put these blocks anywhere on your page. When you go into the editing mode, you get these little tools across the top, and I'll show you that when I get into mine. And you want to move this block up to the top, down below, over to the left side, over to the right side, and you can put as many blocks on your page or as few. You can make it as cluttered or as simple as you'd like it to be. There's upcoming events, there's little calendar things. So this is one place that you can go once you sign in. Right now I'm not even logged in, I'm just under guest access. The ICTPD, this is the one from Bryn Jones, and the one that you might want to take a look at is the digital photography course where there's no enrollment needed on that, and that's a link there as well. And you can see again the same blocks. He's got blocks on the left, who's participating, what activities, forums or places like discussion boards where you start a topic of discussion and people can then discuss with you. What I like about the participants and the people, when I'm online, I can see who else is online with me. So if I have my teachers online at night and I get on, I can see that they're there, and I can basically instant message within Moodle itself and send messages out to the teachers. Oh, I see you're there. Do you need anything from me? Right now it says guest access is allowed at this stage, but they might have to change it if traffic becomes unmanageable. So, you know, get there while it's still there, because it might be a time that you won't be able to. So I'm just going to take a look at some of Brent's stuff here. If you wanted to improve your photos with good composition, what are those elements of good composition? So you would click on this link. And you've got places that you can put pictures in. So when you're building your Moodle pages, you can add pictures. If you know HTML at all, you could do some HTML coding. But if you do this, and I'm on a Mac, so when you're in Safari, it works differently than in Firefox. In Firefox, you get the HTML tools right there. So if you want to bold something on your page, you can highlight it. There's a little B for bold, and an I for italics, and a U for underline. In Safari, that doesn't happen. The editor doesn't come up in Safari the same way. So if you know how to make HTML, you put brackets with a B in front of the word and brackets slash with a B after the word, and that's how you can make a bold in Safari. So it will take some basic HTML if you want. So these are different pieces of his, how to take good pictures. And while you're in the environment, you could go back. There's these things across the top. They're called breadcrumbs. So if you want to go back a page, you can see where you are and you want to go back. Every Moodle page has this hierarchy or structure of being able to navigate. And it also has this pop-up menu where you can jump through the course that way. So it makes it very easy for your teachers to navigate. The feedback that I got from my teachers this semester, they said, you know, some of the teachers weren't really what I would call pulling their weight. You know, they were really far behind, or my deadlines weren't meetable because of, oh, we had finals, we had this, my team was doing that. And so I've given them extra time to catch up. And my question to them was, are you finding the environment hard to navigate? You know, why are you behind, or tell me what's going on in your teams? Because half the teams are doing really, really good, and the other half the teams are lagging behind, and they just have lives, you know, and lives are crazy sometimes. And then crazy for me as well. But they're all saying, no, the navigation is easy. We have no problem with the navigation. It's just finding that half hour a week to dedicate into this. And I have the buy-in from them. They're going to do it. They promised me they're going to finish it up. But there are not all of them are taking the option of getting the credit for it. So the ones that are getting the credit, you know, the salaries, giving that little carrot of, okay, you can do it as a course, they're the ones that are keeping up, more so than the ones that are just doing it because they're committed to it. So they're taking a little bit of time, but the actual navigating is easy. So I could go down to each topic and go into correcting exposure, and it's going to take me to that next topic. So that's just to give you an idea of what his looks like, and you might want to take a look at that nice camera class. Okay, we'll close that out. Feel free to jump in anytime if you have questions along the way.
One question.
Yeah.
I noticed that there was Google Ads on there.
That's not part of Moodle. That's Bryn's doing.
Oh, he decided,
you know how you can, what is that called in?
AdSense.
AdSense, thank you. You can decide to put ads out there, and I think that helps pay for some of the server space that he might be using, but it's not built into Google. But remember, because Google does HTML, you can put anything that you can code out there into it. So right now, I have all of, we call this my University of Stevenson Online, and I have all of one course. You know, I'm not very good at this yet. I am the facilitator of that one course, and I have decided on this particular page to just put in these three blocks. And I call it my iPower 101 class, using iLife in the classroom for teaching digital natives. And if I log in, I just want to show you how I can change this page itself. And my password is star, 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 star. In case you want to try this on your own. Is that what yours is, too? No. Okay, so now I'm back on that same page that you saw a moment ago, and you see this little button up here that says Turn Editing On. If I click on that, watch how all the blocks change. So now every block has a little tool on it that says, okay, well, I may or may want to add a resource. Right now, I might want to compose a text page, add a web page, link to another file, display a directory, insert a label here. I could change this category. I might want to move this up, move this down, move it to the other side. Maybe I want to move this over to the other side. So I click that little right arrow, and lo and behold, it goes over here. So it's very easy to maneuver where you want to put these things. Actually, I like it back on that side. The little eyeballs that you see are show and hide. If I want to keep the calendar there, but I don't want to have everybody see it right now, I can click the eyeball, and you'll see the eyeball will close. Did I get it? And you'll see a closed eye. You should see a closed eye. Come on, hide you. I'm going to watch it spin up there. Looks like I just lost my airport again. It's going to be a problem. And if I want to add more blocks, the blocks that I can put in there, I can put in a latest news block, I can put in a login window, I can put messages, I can put that people block, who's online, I can put a recent activity, I can even put in some RSS feeds, so I can have other blogs that I want people to watch, blogs of interest, and that can be on my Moodle page.
These are all the ones that come with basic installation.
Yep. I didn't do anything except click on, click off. Upcoming events, those are all the different blocks. So each one of these is a block. Okay, now it's going. Now I've just hidden the calendar. See how the eyeball's closed? The calendar's not there anymore, or it's there, but it's just not visible. And if I open that back up again, now the calendar's back. I want to go into, I'm going to turn editing off for a second and just show you what it looks like from the teacher point of view. One of the things that I can do as a teacher is I can monitor all the users and see when were they online, how much time did they spend online, look at their forum posts, look at their activities that they've done. And so I can go back to a teacher, and I don't think they realized this initially until I started meeting with them toward the end of the semester, and it's like I printed out their activity sheets. You know, you started this October 6th, and you didn't do anything until December 6th. So what happened between October and December? You know, tell me what was going on. You knew that I wasn't there? You know, like they didn't, I don't know what they thought. But, so here I've got some blogs of interest that people might want to go and it kind of supports what we're trying to learn in this class. And I basically started with an introduction to the online environment, a course outline, and a news forum. So the news forum would be something that anytime I post the latest news, everybody gets an email automatically. So if I wanted everyone to know something coming up, an announcement, I put it into the news and they all get emailed. And I started out with a digital learner teacher, and our first module went from September to October 12th. And they did really good in the first module, and we had some nice discussions here, and we talked about, you know, the adults with these tools are all the digital immigrants, and our students are all the digital natives. And we talked about the accent that you might have as you're moving from, you know, the immigrant status and you're trying to become a naturalized citizen, and how do you know when you've gotten there. And what are your students saying? What do they want to learn? So I'll just take you into one of their discussions, which I thought was pretty good. So my question in starting out the discussion was, take one person in your team to post here. I want you guys to discuss amongst yourself and have one person. I didn't want to have 44, because there's 44 teachers in this class. I didn't want to have 44 threads to have to go look through. I wanted them to talk it out and then come back and tell me what's going on. How did you, and I wanted them to survey their students for ideas about projects that would be interesting and relevant for them to learn, and what ideas did they gather, and were you surprised by the answers? And then they click reply under here. So I have John Blake is a guest educator. A couple of guest educators came up because he was one place that I was did a Google search, saw an article in TNL or one of these technology and learning things, and saw he was using Moodle, went online. He sends me an email and says, oh, I noticed in the Moodle logs that you were visiting my site. You know, did you have any questions? So out of the blue, I get this email from John Blake. And I said, well, I was doing a search and saw your article in TNL, and I'm planning this Moodle class. And he said, well, I'd like to be a participant in that. I said, sure, fine. So I've got John Blake in there, Wesley Fryer, who I've invited, was in there, Carol Ann McGuire, who's a person doing Rock Our World project out in California, a couple of guest educators. And if you'd like to be guest educators, I would let you in as well. So John Blake starts off the discussion. He's like right into my Moodle class telling me that this is what he's doing. And Stephanie is part of the team for the psychology teachers, and they talked about, they were discussing the issue of technology, specifically, yes, what things worked well in the classroom in terms of using technology and what things could work better. So now they're getting ideas from the students. You know, they're starting out the semester, what do the students want to do? And we say, what are the natives are saying? And then here's a post by Vanessa, and they're the government team. Actually, she posted in the wrong place. She's talking about losing her accent, I think, but she's kind of bringing that in there as well. Just going down, the special ed team decided to even do a survey, and they posted their survey to the forum. So if anyone else wanted to see what they did and how they put together their assessment, how they surveyed their kids and what their kids' responses, so not only can you reply back, but you can post files. So it's kind of nice for that. Some of the expected results, they love listening to music and they like using digital cameras and videos. So they're going to use this information to structure how much support our students will need and note which students might need additional help before giving technology-based assignments. So they're starting out the year looking at what the students are doing. So that's an example of what the forum looks like. I could jump to going back. I could go back to the very beginning. I'm going to take it back to the very beginning and just show you the users part, which is the part that I like. So I can go into the user accounts and I can find all of the people. And my list is very manageable because there is only 45. In a District 214, they do it with students. So any idea how many students? No, I know how many I have. How many students at 214? Like thousands, right?
No, hundreds? Definitely in the hundreds.
Yeah. So I know that the students are doing it. So I can see when the last person, okay, Abby Lucan was in here 2 days ago, and these are alphabetically by first name. And say I want to take a look at what Abby's access is. I can look at her forum posts. What did she post in all the different forums? So this was her Sunday, November 6th, about how was her accent, and using social technologies for education. She had a couple of posts there. But she wasn't the one that did the team posting for that thing that I just showed you. This is her individual post, because at some point I asked them individually to give me a reflection. And so I can go back and see what those posts are by teacher, and I can see where their thinking is and following what they're doing. The activity reports is the part that I like. Because then I can see when they logged in, what they visited, how long they were there when they visited. Pretty much every time they access a different part of the site, you can see that. And there goes my airport signal.
So is this school on your server?
Yes.
Right,
and the whole file, to back up this file, is just a couple of megabytes. It's not very big files at all, and there's a little configuration file that you say back up this data, and it writes a really quick backup, so. Yeah, it's a few clicks. Close your earring. Well, I'm waiting to see if that ever comes up. Amongst the handout piece, there's a book. I also referenced the book on the first part. There's a book called Using Moodle, Teaching with the Popular Open Source Course Management System by Jason Cole from O'Reilly Press. And there's a link there that will take you to the Amazon site where that book is. And you can download the first chapter of the book. And see, he has the whole book on how to use Moodle. Well, the last page of the handout, the page 3 of your handout, is a feature comparison of how does Moodle compare with Blackboard and WebCT. But I think Blackboard and WebCT are the same now.
Yeah.
WebCT bought out, or one or the other bought the other. And so he did a nice comparison. Put on the cheaters here. And some of the things that you can do in Moodle that you couldn't do in Blackboard or WebCT that I think would be powerful is student peer review. So when I have teachers post in the forum, not only can they reply to each other, but they can rate each other's posts. So there's a rating system that you can build in, and you can set your scale up. And in the activities, and this is not going to work here. Aw. Let's talk to Chris about the network in this building here. I just lost it again. What's that? He said it's right in the wall behind you, so we should be able to get it.
I keep dropping.
Yeah, I am too. I'm surprised I got this far.
I didn't know if it had to do with cards.
No, it's just a matter of... The one thing that I think is a drawback for my particular part was, and maybe just the assignment that I did, the self-assessment of submission, I don't think that's anything there. When you have an assignment and your assignment includes having them submit a file, they can only submit it one time, because if they submit it again, it overwrites the first one.
Yeah, if you allow.
You can allow resubmission, but I want two versions. I want the first one and the second one both to be there, so I had to create a second assignment for the second revision. So when I was doing my digital camera thing, I actually wanted them to take four pictures, and so I had to create assignment one, assignment two, assignment three, assignment four, and have them upload them. So that was a minor thing. The other part that I had difficulty with was grouping them and trying to get the forums in groups, because I have them all in Teams, and I have 11 teams of teachers, and sometimes I want to limit the discussion within their team. I wanted to provide a part where just they could discuss, but other people could view it. And so I had a little difficulty figuring out how to do groups, and then I went to the Moodle.org and said, how do you do groups, you know? And someone wrote back and said, oh, you just click this and this, and then it made sense. So it was pretty easy once sometimes you look at things and you're just blind to them. Oh, that click. Yeah, oh, the left, the other left, you know. So on your right side, oh, that right. So anyway, that was just a little bit of difficulty I think that I had. And I don't think, oh, maybe it's going to come back now. Do you have any other questions? I don't know what his annual subscription rate was, but you can look. There was he has a PDF there that you could go to. And I'm not exactly sure, because it's a yearly subscription. But they're doing it as a year-long subscription. It didn't look like it was expensive, but I don't know what pounds are to dollars. I don't think it's on this one piece that I printed. We might be able to find it if I can get back to it. Am I going to get my activity reports ever? Australia. He's in Australia. Dollars to dollars? Same. Okay. But it's different. They have dollars, but it's different dollars. So we get better money going there than they get here? Oh, that's what I meant, yeah. We have better money. No, they have better money. Our money's not too good these days. Pardon me? Yes, you can do quizzes and assessments and surveys and things like that. I haven't done that with this group at all. I didn't feel that was something I needed to do and go back, but you can set up simple quizzes and simple surveys and things like that as well. Right. You can have a key in there and then decide if they want to see the key or not. You can make that available for them. And I don't think I'm going to be able to get... Oh, here we go. I get all logs. Okay, so here we are. And you can see that Abby's been, you know, catching back up from December 4th. It was a big, long, you know, winter break, and she wasn't doing anything. And now she's gone back to the online readings and resources, and she's caught up with her module 3 and module 6, and they finally got kind of caught up and they worked on it. So you can go in and see when they logged in and different parts that they were in doing while they were there. There's something called GD, and again, that's my lack of knowledge in server stuff, but we didn't have that installed on our server, so I can't bring up the graphs. But if you have the full install with that GD component, do you know anything about that? No. When I go to the graphs, and I saw this in 2.14 when we did it, you can actually graph the people's use and graph different things of what they're doing. So you can pay attention to what they're doing.
If somebody wants to know that, since Diana's here, you can probably ask her. She doesn't.
Yeah, Diana is a whiz at that stuff. Let's see if I can go back to that other one.
So what else?
Well, right now I'm doing the next class coming up. What I can see people doing it for is now starting to have the teachers do it with their students. So if you're going to have it, one of the links that I gave you has a middle school where there was a sample middle school one there for you. Yeah, Oak Park School District Middle School Virtual Classroom. Janet Barnstable started something like that, so you can see a little bit of what she's doing with students. But I can see teachers taking this into an environment, having students do discussions, having them put up papers for peer review, having them be in a protected environment, but they can get to it from wherever they are, and it doesn't cost you anything. So, you know, there's many different places that you can get online subscriptions, but then it's going to cost you. This is something that you can implement yourself. So I would like to see teachers come to me and say, I'd like to have a discussion group with my kids. And we have one service that we subscribe to at Stevenson. We use Turnitin.com for plagiarism, and it's all being used by the communication arts and social studies teachers. But if a foreign language teacher wants to have a discussion, then Moodle would be my solution to say, well, why don't we set up you a Moodle class and have you work with your students in that? And we can do audio files in there, we can do MP3s, we can do any file type of supported, so we can upload and download files between that too. So I would like to see teachers getting more involved with it, and because I've got 45 teachers now getting familiar with the interface, I would hope that the next step would be, you know, I've been a student in this for now 6 months, can I set one of these up for my kids? So I think having the teachers have the experience of that online community, then they can start thinking about, well, I can do this with my kids. You know, I'm the student now. How easy would it be for my students to do the same thing that I'm doing? So with everything that we try to do at Stevenson, the staff development is a really big piece, and getting the teachers on board and letting them learn and be the learner, and then they just run with it after that. So I'm expecting they're all going to start running pretty soon. But, you know, right now I'm just got to get them through this. Anything else that... Well, if we look at Wikipedia, there's actually where it was in there, Origin of Time. It actually tells you that it was originally an acronym for Martin's Object-Oriented Dynamic Learning Environment, and it's been evolving since 1999. What's that?
5 years.
Okay, you said 5 years? And it's really... There's also... Are you familiar? There's a big education conference in London, BETT, they just had last week. And there's this big movement to have a whole bunch of online courses in London or England, and their Moodle is going to be their platform of choice to deliver online learning out there. So it's huge. Many, many universities have gone to that, you know, the ones that are doing online learning. Can I show the Trinity site? Would you want to pull your class up? That would be great. Where am I here? Mm-hmm. Right where I was. I'm here right where I was. And there's very few, there's themes and skins, I guess they call them, that takes that look. And the only thing that I did was I just changed the little Moodle logo to the University of Stevenson logo, but I just used that same built-in template. This right?
Subcategories now as far as which I'm in health science.
Okay. And see the breadcrumbs, it's that same looking, that same interface that you see as you're going through all the different modules.
No, all those have keys.
But these guys, when you see these, those are the ones that will allow guests.
Right.
So anytime you go into any of these sites and you see a list of courses, if you get that little smiley face, that means that you can be a guest in that course.
Go to that rehab.
I bet you my trainers would like to see this.
That's what it is, that's my thing.
Yeah, I bet. I wonder if my trainers know about this. And I'm just going to log in as a guest. There's you, Professor Carl. Oh, do you want an enrollment key on this one?
Oh, sure. What is it? It's Rehab, R-E-H-A-B.
So there's your password piece. If you can allow guests, but you sometimes still want to put
a
password into it.
Key.
Some guests are just wide open, and other ones are. Gee, doesn't this look a little familiar? Except it's in blue. You know, you've got your. Well, that's one of the themes. That you just guys have shown that. Okay, but the same. You know, here's your module one, and modules. When you create a module, they're called modules. Or a learning module, they are either date-based or topic-based. You can design them any way that you want.
I've set this class up as a weekly outline. I have 2 lecture times, so it's you know, it's great that I can link the students. They go back and see lecture notes. They can do PowerPoint. They've got, you know, I'd rather spend more time in discussion in class than having them sit down and just labor over notes because there's so much material. So they go back and look at my lecture notes and come here. And I don't feel like giving anything away because there's some expectations as far as assignments that are required. And one of the things I really want to do is get more journaling, and so that's one of the key things about Moodle that really intrigues me.
the forum and the journaling part, and you can have individual, and that's with the grouping part, you can keep them separate. So they can either be visible by everybody, or you can set them up so that if they are journaling or they're doing that, it's just between themselves. So it's, they can keep it private or make it more, and that's how you set it up for the user. Lecture notes and the little icons, that's a Word document, that's PowerPoint. Pretty much, and the assignments. Now, you didn't define your assignment there. It's just they just have to post it.
Yeah, they just post it. It'll go. It's defined in the. And I don't think in the guest you can look at it.
Oh, maybe that's it. Okay.
Yeah. But the assignment will have a definition.
Upload a single file, and it doesn't come up. This particular one didn't come up with it.
Yeah, because it's a guest.
Okay.
If we were logged in, you could see the, what the assignment actually is.
Question.
I think on the right side of the discussion,
I'll jump back to the.
That's
I didn't really want that, did I?
Or either low down together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just follow the breadcrumbs back. That's what makes it easy. Come on. You were going to ask a question while it was loading.
Just about this, where did
if you had any there, that's where they would. Now, I put forums specifically within my module. This is just that general news and announcement. That one, it comes with one news forum automatically, and you can select whether everybody gets postings in that forum, and they can choose not to subscribe to it. So initially, it's set up to everyone gets the posting. So if I put something in the news forum, all the teachers get it. But they can't unsubscribe from the news. They can unsubscribe from any of the other postings, but not the news. That's your kind of blast out to all the teachers. They all need to hear this.
And next week we're having a guest lecture, so then we'll open up the forum. We'll have a discussion about that afterwards. So that allows me, it gives me a little time that I can get back to them as they post them. And it's, that's great. They want feedback quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your lecture notes, they're text, right?
Yes.
No,
because I'm just trying to figure out what I want to do with that. It's an interesting concept, and I just haven't pursued that because it just takes one more step. My wife is tech director at one of the districts in Lake County, so we're collaborating on this stuff. So.
This is great. You had a question back there. Basically, you can upload any type of file, and the person at the other end can download it. But in Carl's case, he put a PowerPoint up. If I don't have PowerPoint or a PowerPoint viewer, I can get the PowerPoint. Really? I would imagine that it would load here fine, and once, again, as you download it on the other side, if you have the PowerPoint player or whatever it is to know that. The one thing you probably want to pay attention to whenever you load things on the internet is that you always include a file suffix if you know what it is. So if it's an AppleWorks file, put .cwk. Macs, you don't need to do that. But when you're uploading and downloading off the internet, your browser interprets that sometimes as, what should I do with this file? And people get confused that way. Nope. I haven't come across anything yet. Mm-hmm. Right there. It's like, oh, that's Word. No, it'll download.
They just need to be aware that it will give an icon that's weird to an AppleWorks document, for example. And we use RTF rather than something.
Now, I have a plugin, I think, that will load Word files in. There's a plugin that you can get that'll load Word files. It's called Schubert, right in my browser. But
that's
a Safari plugin. So. In Firefox, you could download it, but I've chosen, and then if I want it, then I'll save it, because then I can come up here and say, let's just save this as a Word file, but I can preview it.
I know how Google has the choice of you either download it as a PDF or it'll show it in HTML.
Can you bring that down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I like about it is that I'm not restricted to the time. And if you look at some of the user dates and times, and I'm almost ashamed to say the times that I'm in doing some of these things, because I'm one of these nighttime people. So, and Diana is just as bad as I am. And I would email Diana for help at midnight, and 12:05 she's answering me right back, and like, what are you doing up now, you know?
And it's interesting that Moodle has provided that opportunity, and it gives you, you know, I think another aspect to think about how you test your students.
I think one of the features that I really like about Moodle is when I have the forums and things like that, I get emailed their forum posting. So I have a filter in my mail program that says if it says iPower 101, it goes into the iPower folder. And as teachers are doing their reflections, I know that it's there. So it's not like I have to go log into Moodle and find out did they put that assignment up or did they post that form. So I can see that they're posting their reflections, and then that when I get 5 or 6 of them, then I know I'll go and log in and I'll log replies to them. So it helps me as an instructor to pay attention to what's going on and if they're actually participating. If that mailbox is not getting a lot of activity, I can shoot off an email to them saying, you know, you guys, without being in Moodle, you need to get on and get with your team and get caught up, or let's have a meeting and find out, do I need to get some more face-to-face with you, or are you struggling in this environment, or what do you think about these assignments? So it's my first adventure into it, and I think it's been rather successful. I'm a little disappointed in the level of participation that I was getting, and I keep sending them these little gentle reminders. But I understand that in our busy teaching lives, it's really difficult. But I'm taking the time to administer that. I think they should take the time and follow it back. So I think it'll get better. I think it'll, I'm going to continue with it. I'm going to try to promote it more with the teachers and doing it, maybe come up with other modules. And what's nice is now that I've got a module there, and Carl, you could probably, now that you've got a class there, next time you run the class, you change the dates. So I can modify it and, redo that. So anytime you start fresh and you're building it, I learned a lot from being at 214s. I learned a lot from John Blake. I learned a lot from ICTP, what all those little initials are, from Bryn. And then you apply that. And it's like, okay, this works for me. I like this. And, maybe my teachers will like it too. So that's where we went with it. Well, there's a big raffle down the hall I think we should all go to and see if we can get ourselves a Nano to go home with.
I know.
about, if I could say the difference between the Moodle sandbox and what you're offering, the Moodle sandbox, you go in and you play, I come in and I play too, I just take everything that you did away. So the Moodle sandbox is allowing you to click and see what does this do if I do this, but you're not committed to leaving it, you know, the next person comes along and sands, you know, I make a new castle. So what Faye's offering you is your own environment that you can set it up and make modules and decide this is for me. So, and the last piece about that. And Helen, once you create it there, it can be saved out of that environment and brought into your own environment, so you don't have to recreate it. It's a 2 megabyte file. It's very, very tiny.
Yeah.
So if you do create something, it can be downloaded or in the backup thing and then moved to you so that you can then open into your server and put everything that you've just done right there. You don't have to recreate it.
So how much room are we talking about if I
wanted to do it? Depends. You know where I think that the space comes is how many PowerPoints and MP3 files and the Moodle itself, the footprint of Moodle is just a couple of megabytes. Then that's nothing. It's all text and there's like just little, very, very tiny. And not a lot of server traffic either. When you start bringing files into play, then like anything else, you need the space. But it's much smaller than most teacher websites. So, and think of this. Yeah. Thank you very much. Think of this as actually like a content page system for teachers, just to make a web page. Even if they don't do a class, make a web page in Moodle.
That was another thing that people can put. You know, you can do your website in Moodle.
Right.
And
that way, when you have it's password protected or people have to have access to it, you're not posting everything that you've worked so hard to do on the whole world to see and take, and you're keeping it within your class. So just as a website alone, even if you don't do the forums, and you can grow into that later on. Put a calendar up, just a schedule, you know, a couple of links to some, we're going to study this. One of the things when you add a resource, add an HTML page, that's a web page, and put in your links. So it's we're looking at it at Stevenson, maybe moving to our content management system, using Moodle for something like that, teachers that want to put up web pages without any problem.
More deeply into it.
Unfortunately,
I was closed out of the course that I wanted to take.
Oh, geez. Well, and if it's only a few years old, there's a 1.3 version coming out now, I guess, according to the interviews that I listened to, that's coming out. And explore in the learning, the LPC. Coming, Chris.
What?
We're coming.
Oh, no, I'm listening.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, great. I'm glad that you was informative.
Yeah, you want to make sure we win.
I know.
What do we win?